very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, professional dancer, First Nation man, James Board, encourages First Nations young people to apply for NASDA Dance College as application deadline approaches. We're going to have a chat to Brother James and talk about that space and talk about his career. On the line, James, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, so my name's James Board. I'm a proud descendant of the Mariwari Kunya Waka Waka and Kima Nation.
Mm.
So, you know, that travels around from, like, southwest Queensland and also northwest New South Wales as well.
Beautiful. Yeah. Fantastic, brother. Tell us about your career. How long you been dancing and how did it all start for you, my brother?
Yeah. So I did, like, muck around dancing when I was a young age, so especially when I was sick. So I was in hospital for 8 to 10 months when I had leukemia.
Okay.
And then when at that age, like, you know, I was at a depressed age, but then there was this therapy, like music therapy, and, you know, every time I hear that, like, you know, I'll just start dancing around, and that made me so happy. My parents would always tell me the story, like, he just really loves dancing. And so, you know, for those young ages, like, you know, I was just always doing their school discos and all that dancing and, like, you know.
Shaking booty everywhere.
Shaking the leg and melt. And then after that, I come across, like, doing some culture dancing along the way.
Mm.
And then started getting into, like, dancing a little bit more serious. I started off with, like, bit of hip-hop and all that kind of stuff and going to dance studios. And then by, like, the age of 14, I got offered by my school, like, oh, like, you want to go to this camp called Garaba Nora? And I was like, oh, yeah, like, why not? So, and Garaba Nora is like a NASA camp that NASA used to facilitate back in, like, the high school days and that. So,
okay.
And then so I went to the camp and then, like, you know, it's just like this whole week of, like, learning what, like, NASA is all about. And then when I went in, I was like...
That's a branch of from NASA, is it? It's for high school students, is it?
Yeah, it used to be. It used to be a NASA.
I think that's a great concept, a great idea. Like, so young high school students get a taste of the dance world, the dance industry. Yeah.
Yeah. That's totally right, and that's what I definitely got. And it just it sparked in me. Like, this is where I really want to go. And, like, each year I went to the NASA camp, trying to, like, you know, put myself in. Like, oh, I can't go this year again. And it was like, yeah, you rat.
Mm.
And then, also, like, along those lines, I was got accepted into the Aboriginal New South Wales Public School Aboriginal Dance Company, which is in Sydney, so which is run by Bengara McKinley and that. So I did that for those next couple of years as well while doing the NASA camps. And it was just amazing, just, like, you know, seeing contemporary Aboriginal dance as, you know, as they do. And then also going to the NASA camps where they, like, do all these different kinds of styles of dance, like, you know, especially cultural dance, like doing Aboriginal Trust Island dancing.
Yes.
To do, like, urban hip hop, even ballet, but also, you know, you get to do, like, a bit of, like, tumbling skills and, yeah, like, even, like, different contemporary styles as well.
So, and you can make a career out of it, and hence our conversation. You're here to encourage First Nation young people to apply to NASDA Dance College as application deadline approaches. So you're saying an advocate for a career pathway in the dance world, yes?
Yeah, so it can definitely, like, lead to a career pathway. Like, for, like, instance, like, it can, like, put you into, like, a professional, like, company, or you become, like, an independent artist, a teacher, or become, like, a community, like, project officer, or, like, you know, or even, like, a doing cultural stuff as well. Like, it gives you all these avenues and that, and it's, like, real deadly. I'm, like, for myself, like, I was in my last year of Benson Playman, they gave me so many, like, options, like, I can do as, like, either a professional dancer or independent artist. And, like, you know, I got this call, like, one day, like, this year, and I got an offer from Vanguard Dance Company to be a part of their dance company. And now I'm touring now, like, Good. All over Australia, and like at the moment we're in Brisbane, and it's like, and it's really great. And but you know, as like,
well, like, well that's the other opportunity, isn't it, James? You get to travel as well, you know. And well, once you become a dancer, well, your body's with you wherever you go. Then you take your profession with you.
Yeah, that's so right. Like you can literally go anywhere. Like no matter, you know what. No matter like what path you want to go on, and that like you can literally take anywhere, and you get to meet so many people and like connect, and you know, connect to different mobs and that, and like learn stories and learn about each other, and like learn new styles on the way.
Exactly. And look, music is a beautiful tool, and we black people are belongs to that, so we use it. Thank you very much for sharing, my brother. For people to apply, how do they apply?
Yeah, so now like you know, people can apply. They just can go online. Mm-hmm. So they can go to www.nasa.com.au. Also, if you can feel free to like give NASA a call. Mm. You know, they're available from Monday to Friday, 8:30 till 5 PM.
Okay.
And also, you know, you can give them like an email to auditions@nasa.com.au.
And do you have to have any talent, dance schools to apply?
Any talent? Like, not really. Like, you know, no matter what level you're on, like if you're at a basic level or advanced, still apply. Like, you know, as long as you have that passion for like dance and like culture, you know, that's all you need, you know.
And we're talking male and females can apply, and what ages are we talking?
Yeah, so you know, this is designed for like all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people between the ages of 16 to 26 years of age.
Beautiful.
And you know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, males and females can apply, as well as like non-binary, so if, you know, all mobs of like different kinds, and I can apply on that. So.
Deadly,
you know.
Brother. Too deadly. Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for the yarn, my brother. Leading from the front. Fantastic. Big shout out to our mob out there. If you're interested in the dance world, apply NASDA Dance College. Go online, as James pointed out. And go and I'll see him. I'll go and check it out. And you do like an audition as such, or can you send in an audition, James?
Yeah, so with the audition process, I guess it's like, you send them. Video wins, like, you know, if you want to audition, or you know, you have the yarn to like find ways of like how you can audition as well.
Fantastic, beautiful. All right, I hope you get inundated, my friend. Brother, thank you for the yarn. You keep shaking your booty there, my brother, and we'll yarn soon. Yeah. We'll yarn soon, James.
Thank you so much. Yeah, cheers for that.
See you, bro. Bye bye.
All right, see ya.
Deadly yarn there. James Boyd, his name is, and he's a professional dancer, First Nation dancer, James Bond. And he's encouraging First Nation young people to apply to NASDA Dance College as application deadline approaches. So, look, a fantastic opportunity, career pathways, and you can set up travels around the country, and if not around the world, it's a great tool for a pathway, for career pathway. There it is, your mob. Dance, love dance. Big shout out. All right, you have your saying, Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
On this hill, it lay quiet and still, the graves of the mighty Kungai. Asleep but still awake, the spirits walk up and talk to the night. This hill had claimed on some warriors, died in battle for you and I. So don't go wanting on this hill and wake the graves of the mighty Kungai. Kungai me, Kungai you, I come in peace to visit you. Me name Ukabalo Derengi, so now how about you?
How about you?
Me gadi gadi ya kaman kuminya, yundungaling I see you come by. Now I thank the brains of my tribal race, the babes of the mighty Kungai. Build them a monument now in memories of the great Kungai. Some evening time you'll hear them singing the howling of a blood cry. Across the Milky Way you'll see Damari leading his big tribe by. From the opening graves of the great big stairs walk the spirits of the mighty Kungai. Kungai me, Kungai you, I come in peace to visit you. Me name Ukabalo Derengi, so now how about you?
How about you?
Me kari kari ya kaman kuminya, yundungaling I see you bye bye. Now I think the graves of my tribal race, the graves of the mighty Kungai. Oh yes, I thank the graves of my tribal race, the graves of the mighty Kungai.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Breeze, that's always been.
Yeah, beautiful track there. That's Four Winds, Jesse Lloyd, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming here live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BB and Bummer Brip Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I want to give a big shout-out to Thomas Callaghan, CEO of Indigenous Conference Services, who's organising the third National Indigenous NDIS Allied Health, Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Conference here in Cairns at the Hilton Hotel. I'm just going to catch up a yarn there with one of the keynote speakers. That's Dr. Amber Logan, health psychologist, public health. And we're talking about her delivery. She's from Napier, New Zealand. And her delivery at the conference as a keynote speaker is a First Nation-led cultural as a treatment for methamphetamine, and also talk about mental health, COVID-19. First Nation people have reacted to that. On the line, Dr. Amber, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good, thank you.
Good. Welcome to the program. Thank you very much for coming to the program. We say here, as First Nation people in this country, who you mob, where you from. So, Dr. Amber Logan, where are you from? Who you mob?
My mob's Kahungunu. That's from the North Island of New Zealand on the East Coast, in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's where I'm from. So that's my traditional land.
Beautiful. I will say coal country. Up here in Cairns, Far North Queensland. Enjoying Cairns? First time to Cairns, Doctor?
I've been here before to conferences, but I have to say it was -2 when I left home. There was ice on the windscreen of my car that I had to scrape off to drive to the airport to get on a plane to get here.
There you go.
I'm loving it.
So we were thinking of you.
Let's just put it that way. You guys
are lucky. Lovely. Beautiful. Well, hats off to Thomas Callaghan, the CEO Indigenous Conference organiser, who organised that conference there, to organise the conference here in Cairns at this time of the year. They were thinking of you regarding keeping you warm, Doctor.
Thank you very much. It's fantastic here. I love it.
Beautiful. Look, a very important hat that you wear as a health psychologist, and talking about your delivery there at the conference, NDIS, Allied Health, Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Conference, First Nation-led culture as a treatment, methamphetamine, and also mental health, COVID-19. Please enlighten us about your delivery there, please, Doctor.
Okay, I'll try and give it brief because these are big talks.
Of course.
If we talk about culture as treatment, and being a mental health professional, that's an Indigenous mental health professional, that's what I'm really, really interested in. Mm. And I guess my main message to First Nations people everywhere, yes, is that culture is the treatment. Mm. We actually, we don't need to look outside for anything. In terms of healing from addiction, I have a background in brain science. I'm very interested in how drugs affect the brain, and there are every Indigenous culture has fantastic brain healing things that they do. We just don't necessarily think of them as healings, as brain healing things, but they are.
Well, when you look at our existence as in First Nation people across the globe, we virtually had a life and a healthy life in all aspects of life, and that was a part of our culture, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So if we can bring that back into addiction treatment or any mental health treatment, it's got to be good for us.
Yes.
It just has to be, and it is. And when we've seen outcome after outcome for Indigenous peoples which have improved because we've gone back to traditional ceremonies, traditional crafts work, something along the lines of traditional nutrition, if we can do it. A lot of us are separated from that now, unfortunately. But there's this fantastic healing power,
yes,
in our language, in our songs, our stories, our ceremonies, and our way of life.
Mm.
It can bring us out of addiction. And
Doctor, I take my hat off to you as a doctor, as a professional, and open-minded for this space, being a First Nation person as well, all professionals across the globe need to be open-minded for this space, do they not?
Absolutely, and that's the other key message I want to give out to everyone listening is that, Indigenous ways are good for everybody.
Yes.
You can bring a non-Indigenous person into an Indigenous treatment program, and they do well.
Mm.
You know, it's good for everybody, yeah.
And so we're talking about First Nation-led culture as a treatment, as what you're talking about, methamphetamine, but that would be in all illness, physical, mental, yes. Spiritual, yes.
Yes, yes, I would absolutely agree with that. It's not just methamphetamine. Methamphetamine is my specialty area,
okay.
One of them,
mm-hmm.
But across the board, you know, as a public health doctor and as a psychologist, absolutely. I mean, we need it. You know, a lot of the current treatments haven't worked well for us, and it's a matter of reaching in inside ourselves and looking at our traditional ways and seeing the, you know, finding those key healing points that we can bring up for our people.
And so, Doctor, when you look at methamphetamine, it's an addiction, is it not? You know, I mean, if you go down that track, you will be addicted to this ugly drug. Yes.
Yes, yes, it's very poisonous, very, very toxic, very, very addictive, and very, very damaging.
Mm.
It's a very serious drug.
Well, we're talking prevention. This conference is all about prevention in all aspects, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People leaning towards drug or methamphetamine, it's a mental thing, is it not? And we're talking about COVID-19 as a
yes.
pandemic, but the mental illness is a pandemic, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, one of the things, and, you know, someone can prove me wrong one day, but my personal opinion is that the key problem, and we've got historical trauma, you know, the historical stuff that happened with colonization,
yes.
and all those things that happened to us over generations, that's not gone away. You're still there.
Exactly.
And so when you have, if you like, an injury from this kind of treatment, it sets you up for further injuries. You know, and behaving in ways that are non-Indigenous ways and damaging ways. So you have an underlying sensitivity for them. Not to say that everybody has a problem. I don't want to put that message across at all, because that's
exactly.
not what I'm saying.
Exactly.
What I am saying is that invariably, where you have a First Nations person with an addiction problem, that you will find historical trauma in their lives somewhere, and that this is an acting out of that.
Mm. And what you're saying is don't lean.
That's what I see.
And what you're saying,
on the
Doctor?
Ground in reality.
Yes.
You see these families who have been terribly hit over generations, and then, you know, you start to see addictions and things, and the modern thing now, you know, the more later thing, I think, like methamphetamine addiction.
Yes.
But you're talking generations of hurt here.
Of course.
And that's one of the reasons why, you know, returning to Indigenous ways as a healing mechanism is because part of the problem has been that we have been cut off and lost from that, you know, and to develop resilience, then, you know, the answer is to reconnect ourselves with it, you know, to be connected with ourselves,
and
with our lands,
culture.
With the people around us, with our culture, all those kind of things.
Doctor, can you hear me there? I think I lost Dr. Amber. We'll try and get Dr. Amber back. Dr. Amber Logan, health psychologist, public health, and she's one of the keynote speakers at the third National Indigenous NDIS, Allied Health, Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Conference happening in Cairns here at the moment at the Hilton Hotel. We'll try and get her back and continue that conversation, very important conversation. We'll also catch up with Dr. Joseph Stone, who's a clinical psychologist from Nappy, New Zealand as well. He's First Nation from the state, actually. But look, stay tuned. We'll get in touch with those guys, continue the yarn here on the Daily Program, National Talk Black.
Tropical sea.
Yeah, beautiful voice. That's BC, Barry Cedric. Big shout out, Barry Cedric. Big shout out, Yarrabah. And that's our deadly track. There's Yarrabah Rangers. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, I was having a deadly yarn with Dr. Amber Logan, health psychologist, and from Napier, New Zealand, here at the Third Nation Indigenous NDIS, Allied Health, Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Conference here at the Hilton Hotel here in Cairns. Try again. Dr. Amber, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry, so talking about that space that you're working in, and when we're talking about methamphetamine becoming an addiction as such, mm-hmm. what you're saying is when you look at the trauma that we carry as First Nation people, colonisation and what have you, don't lean to drugs, methamphetamine. Mm. Lean to your cultures, which was what I'm picking up, yes,
doctor? Absolutely, because the more engaged we have in ourselves and our Indigenous identity, the more resilient we are. And I think, you know, people listening will know that in themselves. You know, your heart knows this.
Yes.
Is that engagement with self, and sometimes, and I'm quoting Steve Biko here, actually, or paraphrasing him. He was the South African activist who was unfortunately beaten to death by police in the 1970s. He had some fantastic things to say.
Denzel Washington made a movie about it.
Yeah, Close Freedom.
It's Close Freedom, exactly, yes.
I advise anybody to watch that. And, you know, it's this idea of, you know, when the ways that you do are someone else's ways, when the language that you speak is someone else's language, when everything around you is from someone else, you start to feel that there's something about your stuff that isn't good enough.
Okay, yes.
Only a short hop from there, from saying there's something about
your culture,
my language, my culture, my beliefs that isn't good enough, to saying there's something about me that's not good enough.
Yeah, true.
And when that happens, that's the injury there. And that's what we're saying, you know, when we want to do Indigenous treatment, is actually about taking that part away.
And when you look at something outside your culture, then there's the mental, spiritual, physical scarring in regard to your culture. You know what I mean?
Is what
I'm picking up. So, in regards to this finding, when you say this finding regarding you as a professional, putting it across the table and putting it out there as your delivery as a keynote speaker at a conference, all professionals have got to now look at this as part of their studies, you could say, to get their degree, that culture's got to be within the sort of subject of education in that field, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, for a long time, there's been this idea that if we just become, how can I say this? I think in Aussie speak, if we just become brown white fellas,
lovely,
that will solve all our problems. You know?
Nice analogy, nice description. Yes.
But we actually want to be brown fellas.
Well, exactly.
Black fellas, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the thing. It's about returning to the roots of our own roots, the roots of our Indigenous cultures, and not the sort of grafted thing that actually isn't us.
Yeah, exactly.
And with the messages that come along with it, that as people, we're not as good.
Well, colonisation brought alcohol, brought liquor, bought drugs, bought smoking. Yeah, they bought that. They bought, I don't know, fast food. They took us away from our healthy living. All First Nation people across the globe were the healthiest people living on planet Earth, were we not, you know? And so we just need to go back to the foundation of our culture, and that is the true medicine, you could say.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, as I said earlier, my interest has been in, also my side interest, I guess, apart from everything else, my Indigenous stuff has been in brain science. And, you know, there's some really interesting stuff, and I can see how being engaged in a traditional culture, your own traditional culture, actually has a brain healing effect. And that's part of the talk that I do, is that if you want to look at science and talk science, then the science is there.
So, Dr. Amber, you operate as a health psychologist. Are you teaching at universities as such?
Yes, I do. I do guest lecture at Otago University. I'm also employed with Otago University, and I guest lecture at the medical school in Auckland as well.
So this would be part of your teachings now in regarding culture as a treatment to illness.
It is. And it's, you know, there needs to be a lot more of it. Like, I think, as you said earlier, you know, it's missing.
Yes.
It's missing from the thinking around what's healthy for people, you know, as health professionals, what's good for people. Mm. And we really, I think we need to go back to looking, taking a good hard look at it and doing...
Well, exactly. And doctors of the world have, you know, the main focus is to get people better. So if this is a medicine, if we're talking culture as the medicine, bring it to the table. Bring it to the education.
Yep. And beautiful. Think about it.
And think about it.
When you've got a person sitting in front of you, you know, the health professional, you've got someone coming in and they're a First Nations person, then you got to talk to them about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You know? Who you mob, where you're from.
Find out about
them. Yes, exactly.
You got, and it should be the first thing that you do.
Yeah. Before taking blood and checking blood pressure.
do that first. Absolutely. And, you know, I train, I've got hands in training psychology students in that. And, you know, we talk to them about, well, you know, because they're often a bit scared.
Sure.
You know, they don't know how to ask.
And there's the cultural awareness that's not at the table for professionals.
So I say, well, you know, quite literally, this is how you ask. These are the things you talk to. And, you know, so you see someone with Indigenous name on the list you've got, and you might not know anything about this, but you say, oh, that's an interesting name.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Easy.
Exactly. Easy. Easy.
Where are your people?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So all doctors and all doctors and professionals and professors need to become students once again.
Yeah.
And we're students for life, aren't we?
You know, you've still got someone in front of you. Think they might be Indigenous person. There's no embarrassment to ask.
Yeah, exactly. Look, a beautiful conversation. I love the space you're working in. Thank you very much for sharing. I'll be yarning with Dr. Joseph Stone very soon. But thank you. Enjoy the rest of your conference. Enjoy Cairns, warm weather. And we will yarn soon, Dr. Amber.
Yeah, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn, Dr. Amber Logan, and she's a health psychologist, First Nation public health over from Napier, New Zealand, and talking about First Nation leading the way in regarding treatment and using culture as the medicine, methamphetamine, and also mental health after COVID-19. Have your say in Yana Strong. Had the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of Mornington Island, the past, present and emerging, and my deepest respect to all the elders of this island. Mornington Island, Mornington Island. Let's go, let's go. Every time we go Booga, out on a world bar. Yeah, Mornington Island, this is our the place so many waters I see. This is where I'm meant to be.
This is where I'm meant to be.
Surrounded by
separated them, yeah. Then we got Dindi Manda and Dango Manda. And there's a place where they stay on top of the island. Dindi Manda, from the side to the west. They are short and unseen people. They belong to this land. They are two different tribes.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Mornington Island. Big shout out to Mornington Island, all my people that way. Thank you very much. Normie J here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarning with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, a Deadly Black Network, you mob. So thank you very much for tuning in. We're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Joseph Stone. He's a clinical psychologist, and he too is at the third National Indigenous NDIS, Allied Health, Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Conference. And just talked to him about his delivery there. On the line, Dr. Joseph Stone, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Doctor, we ask our First Nation mob across the country, across the globe, who your mob were you from, Doctor Joseph Stone?
Well, I'm an enrolled member of the Anscopi Pekuni, which is the southern band of the Piegan. There are four bands of Piegan, in Canada,
yes,
and one in Montana, USA. I'm from the Montana band.
Okay. So you have connections to three other bands or three other tribal people in Canada, your mob.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you're a clinical psychologist. Now you're living, residing in Napier, New Zealand, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Living in New Zealand.
Well, welcome to sunny North Queensland, far North Queensland, here in Cairns, and you're here at the third National Indigenous NDIS Allied Health, Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Conference. I'd like to talk to you, Doctor, about your delivery. You're talking suicide prevention. Please enlighten us regarding your delivery there, please.
Well, in a way, you can't get around, as Dr. Logan was saying, you can't get around the historical intergenerational trauma. Mm-hmm. And what I found in my life is that manifested itself in what the great Tiwa Apache psychologist Eduardo Duran calls a soul wound, a sort of a gapping hollowness inside myself.
Yes.
So I tried to fill that soul wound with drugs and alcohol, and ultimately that failed.
Mm.
I found myself in treatment, and, you know, I used to tell people treatment failed, but actually I failed to take advantage of treatment.
Okay, yes.
I finally got to the point where I went into a treatment program and was somewhat successful. I came out of it with abstinence, but not recovery.
Mm.
I didn't know who I was, and I was depressed all the time.
This is before you became a psychologist, yes?
Oh, yes. Time before I became a psychologist. I was an engineering student at the time.
Okay.
And so one day I went to the Native American Indian Club Room in Bozeman, Montana, and there were several Native men there, and they invited me to go to a sweat lodge ceremony with them.
Mm.
And I said, oh, my, you know, I'm not interested in any of that blowing smoke in four directions and superstition stuff that you guys are into.
And you're a First Nation man, and that's how you looked at that approach. Is that right?
Yes, that was how disenfranchised I was.
Yes, okay.
And so, but what I'd been doing is I had been driving past this location when they went to it and listening to their songs and smelling the smudge medicine they burned and the like, but I didn't dare go to it.
Mm.
Well, Frankie told me, he said, well, this is your last chance, so we're not going to bother you anymore with this.
Yes, we're moving on, with or without you.
Yeah, so I got there. I got there first, and I sat and waited for a long time. Finally, the boys showed up, and they got me busy helping with bringing the water up, bringing the wood up and stuff. And
you were reluctant, weren't you?
I was reluctant and I was afraid, but I had I think I had come to the end of my rope. So
if not this, anyway, then what is with your mentality?
Yeah. So I was going to sit and chat with them, but one of them told me, go and watch Frank. He's building a fire. You haven't been here before. So I went and watched Frank. He built the fire in a very stylistic manner, using the four directions, the exact number of stones, the exact number of wood, putting the medicine down to light. And then he said, would you like to light the fire? And I said, sure. So he gave me some matches. And I went to light it, and he says, oh, no, Joel, haven't you been watching? I said, well, okay. He said, you start in the east, and you go in this direction, in this direction, in this direction, following the sun in order to do this appropriately. So, and that was about 35 years ago. I've come a long ways in the ceremonial world of Native Americans, and especially my people. So now I'm an Okaw man, a Sundance man. I've been through all of that sort of thing. In that entire time, I have never, ever, ever created Sweat Lodge that I haven't used Frankie's protocols, which are very rigorous, and they take a lot of time, and I honor those things because that's important to us.
Yes.
So we got into the ceremony, and they asked me what I needed, and I told them. I said, well, two things, fellas. I don't know who I am. And two, I'm really depressed, so I'm either going to drink again or commit suicide. So Frank said, well, hey, you know, pray about that, and I'll put some hot water on the stones, and we'll sweat about it, and we'll see how it goes. But there was an elder there from Crow. And he said, now hold on, Frank. A young man has got two very serious problems here. He said, so when you put the water on, I'm going to sing two healing songs for you. So Frank put the water on, the elder sang them two healing songs, and we got out of the ceremony. I walked over and I sat on the edge of the hill looking south across the valley there in Bozeman. Frankie came over and he said, so how is it? And I looked at him, I said, it's gone, Frankie. I said, all that negativity is gone. All that depression is gone. And he said, yeah, I thought so. And I said, Frankie, I know exactly who I am. I just don't know how to be that. Yeah. Will you teach me? He said, sure, be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I got there at 6 o'clock the next morning. I waited for 4 hours. He finally showed up.
4 hours you waited for?
And he finally showed up.
Was that part
up.
Of the lesson, was it, Dr.
Yeah,
Joseph?
that was part of the lesson.
Yes.
He brought two garbage bags and an axe. And he said, clean this area up. It's a holy area. Brothers and sisters want to use it for spiritual purposes, so you clean it up, chop all that wood and stack it nicely, and then he got in his car to leave. And I said, well, is that the lesson? And he says, don't forget to look around and watch, Joel. And that was his first lesson.
Yes.
And then I followed Frank for 4 years. He would come to the house late at night, pick me up, and take me to people's houses who needed to have a spiritual intervention or something, and he worked with me to learn how to do that. We became good friends, and I went into the psychology training program, the professional.
I was just going to say, Dr. Joseph, you became a doctor in culture before you became a clinical psychologist, a doctor in psychology.
Yeah.
You could say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And when I got there, I used to take our smudge medicine every morning, and I'd smudge myself with it, and I'd pray. I'd say, please don't let me forget who I am here in this You know, this is an honorable program. It's a wonderful training program. But I'm Pukani, and I must be Pukani.
Yes.
I can't become a white man just because I'm learning this white man way.
Yes. Powerful words.
You know, so what I found out about suicide is that it's a lived experience for us indigenous people. You know, it's been all around us. It is all around us. My own brother killed himself, and I was asked to come to the Senate, the United States Senate, and to speak to the Senate Select Committee on Indian Affairs about youth suicide. And so when I came and I talked to them, I talked to them about my brother, and I wrote a piece for them about my brother, and I wrote a piece for them about Native suicide and suicidality.
Mm.
And what I've discovered about it is that much like Amber was speaking to you about the clinical interventions, the westernized clinical interventions of methamphetamine, westernized clinical interventions for suicide are not as helpful if they're not
culturally connected. There's no culture at the table.
Yes. You must have indigenous thinking, indigenous belief systems, and indigenous values and practices. And within those, you can judiciously take and carve out pieces of what Western behavioral health and science has to offer, but you cannot make that central for the people because it's a foreign thing.
It is.
You know, if you think about it, actually the pain of what is causing or driving that high rate of suicide, if you're going to present curative experience for that, you can't present a curative experience that's based on those same principles that caused the pain in the first place.
In the first place,
it's
yes.
It's not going to work. So what we do with suicide prevention and suicide intervention is we go back to what's tribal in nature, what's indigenous in nature,
yes,
and make that central to the process of wellness.
Well, that's the number one medicine is what I'm picking up, Doctor.
Yeah, that's the number one medicine. And within that medicine, within the use of that medicine, we judiciously apply some very good materials that have come out of Western behavioral science, behavioral health. David Jobe's Collaborative Assessment and Management of Suicidality, it's golden. It's marvelous. It's wonderful stuff. I brought him to the Navajo Reservation and conducted workshops out there.
Is he non-Indigenous?
No, he's not. He's not Indigenous at all.
He's not Indigenous, yes.
But his methods lend themselves
yes
to Indigenous people if they are lent within a context of an Indigenous framework. So you pick it up, if you pick up Collaborative Assessment and Management of Suicidality by David Jobes, you pick it up with respect to using what works for yourself as an Indigenous person out of his method.
Yes.
And David himself would tell you that that would be how he would recommend it be done. And so for me, behavioral health and behavioral science as a psychologist is a secondary aspect of Indigenous health. Well, our health is ancient. It's hundreds, thousands of generations old. So we pick it up. We pick up this new stuff, and we add it as we need it, as we decide what's appropriate, you know. Very wise sayings come to mind. One was Peter Standing Alone, the Canadian medicine man. I was asked one time to introduce him at a conference, and I said, "So, Pete, what do I call you? A medicine man, interpreter, guide, a cultural expert?" He just laughed at me. He said, "Oh, Joe, just call me a helper."
Helper. Beautiful.
And this was a man of great respect. But Pete said, "We have forgotten the ceremonies. We have forgotten the rituals.
Yes.
But the ceremonies and the rituals have not forgotten us."
Exactly. Powerful. Look, culture. Culture is the answer, is the number one medicine. We come to a time where I've got to sign off, Dr. Joseph. I thank you very much for sharing. Please enjoy your rest of stay here in Cairns and enjoy the conference. And thank you very much, Dr. Joseph Stone, my brother.
Well, thank you for your time, sir.
All the best to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A powerful yarn, a powerful conversation there with both Dr. Joseph Stone, clinical psychologist, First Nation man from America, Montana, and also Dr. Amber Logan, health psychologist, and both residing in Napier, New Zealand, but here for the third National Indigenous Conference. It's come to time with Trinity Trev signs off for today. Your mob, I thank you very much for your company. I'd like to keep rolling, but I only got an hour, and yarn to your mob tomorrow. And that deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.